Welcome to episode 2F10 and Maggie Makes 3. The original air date, January 22nd, 1995. Written by Jennifer Crittenden. Directed by Swinton O. Scott III, who is, say it, this is Dave Merkin, the exec producer and showrunner, and sitting next to me is...
My name is Swinton O. Scott III, and I directed this episode.
I'm David Silverman, supervising director.
And this is Matt Groening, creator of Scratchy.
Did you say Itchy in another one?
Okay. Yes, I'm trying to, slowly but surely, I'm going to name all the characters that I came up with.
I really do miss Nightboat. I'm sorry I didn't become a regular character on the show.
This is obviously a nasty swipe at Knight Rider, one of our favorite shows.
Most of our swipes are nasty.
Yes.
Yes, it's generally not because we like something when you see it on the show. It's generally because we're somewhat annoyed. Though we do love William Daniels, who was the voice of Knight Rider from The Graduate, one of my favorite all-time films, and it's actually Hank does an amazing William Daniels voice on this piece here.
So, Swinton, this was your first Simpsons?
This was my very first episode to direct on The Simpsons, yes. And it was very terrifying for me, stepping in to do this job, I must say.
Swinton was my AD in the second season for all the five shows I did that year.
And going back to the first season, I was working a lot for David on the first four shows of the season.
Did a very good job on Bart the General. Did a lot of nice fight scenes, which were very useful because it was all about fighting in that episode. Some fighting in this one, too, which Swinton's very good at. He's quite the fighter. You don't want to cross Swinton.
Well, this episode didn't have that much fighting. Could have used a bit more, you know, a child being born. That's a good way to start out.
May I just point out, I think that was a rare, if not the only picture of Snowball 1.
Oh, yeah.
That was, yeah.
It's strange that they named the cat Snowball 1 since it was the first one.
They were not planning on taking very good care of it. That was, right from the beginning, the family was very self-aware. This is an episode written by Jennifer Crittenden. It was her first episode. I hired her as the first woman staff member, writing staff member on the show. And she was very, very young. She came and met with me. She was kind of on some sort of a beginner writers program at 20th Century Fox, having worked like I think pretty much as an intern on David Letterman before that. And they said, please meet this girl. And I read her script and I liked it. Just a spec script. I can't even remember what it was. Meaning written on speculation. It wasn't a Simpsons. But I liked the writing, so I had her come in. I talked to her for a while, thinking, well, this is a very nice woman who's about, and she was very mature, so I figured she was close to 30 years old. She was really only 23, which is incredibly young to be that far along in her.
But we didn't hold it against her.
I didn't hold it against her at all, and brought her on staff, and where she stayed for quite a while and did a lot of good work. And this was her first script, and she did a nice job. And one of the things I like about the show is this is one of our more emotional shows. It's really very family centric and
sorry.
That was great.
It's great when we all laugh at our own
stuff.
We
hadn't seen him in a while.
Yes. We are being surprised again because it has been a long time.
10 years.
10 years.
This episode is 10 years old as of this DVD audio recording.
Isn't that amazing?
Like Homer, I used to have three hairs, and now I have only two.
And obviously, it becomes he has a good relationship with Dick Clark, but eventually becomes harassing Dick Clark.
Within a week.
It doesn't take long for Homer to get angry and for things to make the list for him.
Plan that'll fix you good.
Hey, what did we do?
Sorry, that just slipped out. Oh, miss you. Did you hear me? I said I quit, Monty!
Talked for a long time that this is Homer's big opportunity to quit and to really get back at his boss. But Homer, not being very creative, the best he comes up with is no coaster and to turn over his trash can.
But a very nice bit of animation, I think, of playing his head like a bongo.
Very nicely done, yeah. I was trying to recall who did the layouts for that. Might have been Steve Fellner.
Oh, yes. He did a good job.
I enjoy how passive Mr. Burns is through this. There's no resistance at all. He just kind of... And no reaction on his face, either. He's sort of calm the entire way
right,
through.
Right.
I love like Lenny's boogieing to the bongo playing, too. That's very nice animation.
He
There's the power plant crow.
Trademark.
That's for employing me for 8 years.
That's actually a great line. This is a joke I came up with, which...
This is what, that's one of my favorite jokes.
The visual.
It's like, I, you know, I remember when you pitched it, I was thinking, you can't do that. It's too crazy, and it won't work, and you can't stage it, and it's perfect.
But you know, that's the thing. It's like, the thing about animation is you can almost stage anything and time it perfectly, and that's why we get so excited when the directors come in and they can make the bridge catch on fire instantly, just in the time of the single shot. I could never do that in live action. So as a director of live action, I so enjoy, you know, the amount of control we have in animation and zillions of things we can do that you just can't do in
a nice little dance.
Nice little jig.
You recall Barney, it's Barney's Bolarama,
right?
But Barney, it's not Barney, it's our Barney.
It's not,
no,
our
it's
Barney.
Some other Barney.
That's right.
That was what our lame attempt at an explanation. It's his uncle.
His uncle named it after him and then fires him because he loves him so much.
I also wanted to point out, and this is a joke that the reason I'm explaining is that I don't know if a lot of people understand it. Homer has quit and completely humiliated his boss before he finds out whether he can get another job. And that's like another layer of his insanity. He says, now, the last part of my plan, can I have a job? And if the answer was no, everything would have fallen apart. But luckily, he got the job.
I was wondering, before this, you'd worked on The Simpsons through the second season, and then the third season you went to
Warner Brothers to work on Tiny Toons and other projects they were doing at the time.
That night, your mother and I went out for a romantic evening.
How was that?
It was fun to be with a lot of people that I knew and loved. Mm-hmm. It was fun to draw Bugs Bunny, different Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck for a little while, but it was not as fun as working on The Simpsons.
He has to say that. We're all sitting in the room.
Well, what was the clue? What was a clue that maybe you should think of a different place to go?
They started having us do walk cycles of characters, and then I knew it was time to get out.
Because that's very cheap.
Because it's busy work.
It's just busy work. That's not creative.
I mean, it's just walk cycles not attached to a specific episode?
No, it's just development work.
Just random.
This is a perfect Homer moment, which is, I think, a perfect Simpsons switch where... He enjoys sand in his pants, and I love the way that's animated, by the way he comes back and shakes his body around.
I think Andy Klein laid out this section.
This is nice.
This is really nice work.
Yeah, I like that entrance. So did I give you a call, or the AD job was available or something like that?
Yes. David called me up at Warner Brothers and said, hey, we have an assistant director job open here at Simpsons again. Would you like it? And I said, maybe not. And then we started doing walk cycles, and I called David back and said, maybe I will take that job.
So, this is one of my Homer favorite scenes.
This is where David had to actually do this move.
Wow.
Quite disturbing. Yes. Quite disturbing.
Yeah.
And then we had two different layout guys try and do it from David's demonstration. And then I think in the end, David went and said, I'll just draw it myself.
I think it was the time my girlfriend left me, too. That's a little dance we call the Silverman.
This is a really nice line to walk where Homer is still the idiot he is, but he's still very loving of his family. You know, at the very same time he's like celebrating Maggie, he forgets she's there and he's about to sit on her.
Right.
So that's the way we can kind of walk the line where he's a terrible dad, but he also has a heart. He's really terrible just in the fact that he's just not paying attention, not that he's actually maliciously going after his family. He just naturally, good-naturedly is destroying his family. And that's a very important difference to have.
Some of our favorite lines. Nice bit of animation again. And
Urinal Fresh.
That's a line that has really swept the country, Urinal Fresh. I mean,
it was, yes, it. I think for a while that was very common to hear.
This was really strange.
You know, a lot of times you say we don't recommend this. We do recommend this. This is actually fun.
Strange but fun.
To shine your head like that. No, we're only teasing, kids. Don't try that
at all. Hey, that was David's character, Jean-Jacques,
came back.
Wow.
This is also completely accurate as to what happens. We did an enormous amount of research.
And we always explain what happens to Ben. We always play Raymond Scott's Powerhouse.
Raymond Scott's Powerhouse. You know, I read online that we used Powerhouse, which is one of my favorite tunes.
One of my favorite
tunes. Watch me dance. You get at home, you can't see me dancing now, but I'm actually dancing.
We're all dancing at the moment.
And I couldn't remember that we'd actually ever done Powerhouse. That's great.
I was so excited that we finally could use it. It was a goal of mine to get it in there somewhere, and it was the perfect place.
Nice orchestration that Alf did. Really, really.
See, that music for Matt and myself was just huge as kids when we heard that used on the Warner Brothers cartoons, and just could not wait to use it. That, by the way, was obviously the Mary Tyler Moore opening, though in usual Simpsons fashion, destroyed by the fact that he just ruined about a $13,000 lane of bowling. That haircut's based on Arsenio Hall, which truly has fallen into obscurity. Not necessarily Arsenio, but the haircut. Or maybe a combination of both. I don't know.
Obscurity, trivity, and trivia, you know.
So in a few months, both of you will have a brand new brother or sister.
Been there, done that. I hope it's a girl. You know nothing about genetics, Lise.
It's interesting to see how these things change, because at the moment they're very specific references, and later they just kind of fall into a general lexicon of that time period and that look. But sometimes you'll forget the people that it's associated with.
Did we do any different model on Bart and Lisa, like make them a trifle bit smaller for this episode? I can't remember.
Now, if you say we're going to say lazy, lazy. Did you, actually?
Yeah.
So they're slightly different?
They're slightly different. Slightly smaller.
Good work.
Just a little change around the mouth. Well, no, if it worked, but we at least gave it a shot.
Here's the deal. You freeze everything.
Now we can actually see how Homer communicates with the Lord.
That is okay. Please give me absolutely.
He always asks for no sign of total agreement.
Now he uses a cell phone.
This works for a lot of theological questions.
It does.
That will be done.
That should settle the existence of God for everybody, I think.
I've got
to. That was Maggie's first word.
That was Maggie's first cough right there. And, there's lots of cigarette smoke. Nicely done. You see the top of the frame there? It just
That's
has like
good.
A nice
good
little
job
glow
on the smoke
to it.
Haze. Kind of a political back room look.
Yes. Wait a minute. Wait. I know that look.
Patty and Summer are younger, too.
Yes, yeah,
slightly they're looking a little better, it's true.
Yeah.
But still, the voices are no higher. They still were ravaged by alcohol and mainly cigarettes.
This is one of my favorite jokes, actually.
Marge Simpson is pregnant again. Just thought you'd like to know, Mr. Zukowski.
I was watching this and hoping that people would get it, because I think it's somewhat subtle that a lot of people who aren't watching carefully would think that they actually went through the whole book instead of just dialing the first name and the last name of the book, who happened to be Big Mouth. But I'm glad to hear that people seem to respond to it. This is one of my favorite sequences that I wanted to do, which is that he just doesn't understand what anyone is saying to him.
Well, Mr. Simpson, I have just heard about the little bundle of joy. Congratulations, sir.
It's true. But I'm not in it for the money.
So, Swin, do you remember each and every scene? Do you remember working on it?
Certain scenes, all? Not each and every.
Certain scenes.
But certain ones.
Okay.
Like the beginning where Homer came down through the vent shaft to beat up the terrorists that Louis Escobar did layouts for. I remember that specifically because so many drawings in that.
There's actually a lot of these same kind of jokes, which is to go against expectations. I'm a big fan of those jokes. So when Mo actually says, way to get Marge pregnant, he says, this is getting very abstract, but yes, I do enjoy working at the bowling alley. He won't accept it. And it's really the same kind of joke. You see the door swing open, and you expect to see Homer, but instead it's Lee's. And it's just as she's about to shut it, he pops in. So it's just constantly, there's a lot of screwing with the audience. Those are those type of jokes.
Well, you know what I think is always startles me about this show is that these amazing scenes are written, and then they're staged not in the conventional way, and weird angles and very cinematic stuff.
Yeah.
And even though the show is done under a very tight budget and with a very strict schedule, it's amazingly ambitious.
Yes.
You're pregnant!
And then when I told him about...
This is, by the way, going on right now is historical explanation as to Homer's hair situation. If you notice, throughout the show, he has three hairs on top instead of two. And when he finally hears that Maggie's pregnant, that's when he pulls out that single hair, making him now two hair. And then hearing about the other two kids is what got him down to three hairs. So Homer didn't actually... By the way, this is saying Homer didn't lose his hair through any kind of male pattern baldness. It is self-mutilation that has led to Homer's luck, which is a very positive thing, I think, for this kid.
And I also like the way we cushion it for us to watch commercials. It's very nice that we sort of feather the nest a little bit.
Yeah, well, that right there, those explanations about it. This is something that doesn't make as much sense on DVD, which is, you know, Lisa saying, I got to go to the bathroom, and Marge thinking about products. We were very self-conscious about the commercials in this episode, and now it doesn't make any sense. I love when his body gets bigger.
Yeah, that's good, too.
Good mouth.
He also looks right at us.
It's a great sound effect, too, of the air filling up, because that's all fat people are, is air.
Pretty much. These cartoon fat people.
But I'm damn good at this one. That's it. I'm going to march right up to Al and say, Steve, I mean, you deserve a raise.
You're a hard worker, and I'd like to give you a raise, but the alley just ain't doing enough business to pay that kind of money.
How about if I triple the business, then could I get a raise?
This is nice acting right here. I like the way he puts his fingers.
Don't say anything.
All this stuff around.
This is great design.
These were a couple of jokes of Jennifer's that I really love, is where he was reading marketing and suddenly advanced marketing and then beginning marketing. Finally, he's just looking up the word marketing. And then again, in my own mind, this is what I figured Homer had to come up with all his thinking. This is his idea of advertising. With a shotgun screaming bowling at the top of his...
Don't try this at home, kids.
There's Lisa's depression again at being in a family where this is actually not an exaggeration, but the actual story.
So actually, I like that walk cycle with his toe going down like that. It's very sad. And
you feel
defeated.
Really bad for Homer in this, because he really was happy for, you know, the first time in a long time in terms of his work situation, and now he has to leave. I also very, this is kind of dark. I came up with this, it's like based on so many movies that we saw growing up. This little boy that shows up, that he says goodbye to, little, I think it's a Jimmy, I'm not sure. Little Joey.
Little Joey.
Mr. Homer.
Don't worry, Joey. We'll make it to California.
And he says we're going to make it to California, but it's clear that with Joey's cough, he's not going anywhere.
Well, anybody who coughs in a movie.
Yeah, you know you're in trouble. Especially when you have a special handkerchief for the coughing. That generally means there's material coming up. Not a good sign. If anyone's coughing in a handkerchief, please see a doctor.
Right away.
That's what we're trying to teach you with this show.
I also like that look over the shoulder.
It's great, the way
face.
He's hunched over. It's very nice. Very nice acting. Very nice positioning.
I needed more money to support my growing family. And there was only one place in town that a man like me could make it.
We lost a pin monkey, but hey, we got him a good time.
And this is I love the way this is lit. I love the way it's the geography of the setup, walking back to this dark thing.
Uh-oh. Acid rain again.
Oh.
Now this is acid rain.
Acid rain.
That was acid rain.
Yep. Where did that come from?
Well, you know, when you come back for your job, they have all these things set up.
You're here to see them.
Well, when they replace the bridge, they put a few more little additions.
Security.
And that portrait is modeled after the Fox Executive Building.
Oh, yeah.
It is. Exactly. And we have the supplicant door that you... I can't remember whose joke that was, but it's a terrific joke.
It's very smoky, apparently.
It might have been Jace Richdale's. I'm not sure.
It's like a classy thing that it would be not to call attention to it. Thanks for giving me my old job back.
I'm afraid it's not that simple.
This actually leads to a joke that at the very end, which we'll get to, but... which was George Meyer really enjoys jokes that involve rearranging letters, or, you know, having signs where letters fall off that then spell different things, and that's sort of the joke that we're getting to when they put up this plaque.
It's kind of our maybe an homage to Al Jaffe and the Mad Folding sort of approach to humor.
It is very similar to those. Yes, but we'll get back to exactly what happened there. But it took us a long time to kind of figure it out. But it was well fun. This is sort of based on my own life, where I'll say, gee, I'm going to just keep my problems inside and not burden my loved ones with it, and then it falls apart in 2 seconds. You know, I say, hey, how are you? And it all just So that's a sad confession, I'm afraid to say. I'm much better now, though. This was 10 years ago.
God's most wondrous miracle.
Sir, I think your wife wants to hold the baby.
My wife? Where? Where?
Congratulations, it's a boy.
You're truly...
Which we never see ever again, I guess.
Yeah, we don't know with who he ever got that with. We never saw the sea captain with a woman.
Yes. Or sure the boy again.
The boy sailed away, no doubt. Right?
Push should do it.
Marvelous.
Some very nice acting from Dan here, which he has to kind of be sarcastically happy, but not too nasty, but he's just so sad.
Okay.
Another mouth, and then there's this very sweet moment.
It's a very sweet model, I think, on Maggie.
Oh, yeah, very nicely done.
Yeah.
And again, we go from a lot of this insane humor to really great emotion here that I've watched people watch this and really get teary-eyed watching it, even though there's jokes throughout. You know, just him bonding with his new daughter is very sweet. And that's a tribute to obviously the writing, but the actors are stunning and are great directors and animators that come up with these expressions that are incredibly moving.
The layout guys knocked themselves out on this show.
Yeah, really. And here we have, well, where did that come from?
The first pacifier, just based on seeing the parents kiss and wanting to have some. That's exactly why kids want a pacifier. They want to pretend they're kissing. So. And so here's where we took that sign, and obviously to explain it, we took all these great pictures, and we used it to cover up the sign.
Beautiful. And worth freeze framing, of course, to see all the different expressions on the photos.
Right.
Including the really angry one.
So a very sweet first episode by Jennifer Crittenden.
And by Swinton.
Absolutely.
Who had a wonderful time doing my very first episode.
Yeah.
Jennifer would have loved to have been here today, but she's actually busy on a pilot, and if it becomes a big hit, you'll be able to figure out which one it was. But if not, she had completely wasted her time and missed it out on a really good set of commentary. So we'll see which way it goes. It's exciting. Show business just never ends, does it?
Folks, Merkin is like this all the time.
It's kind of frightening. Just imagine not being stuck with me for 22 minutes talking like this, but all day long. I'm incredibly popular around here.
And go through the credits and count the number of layout artists that eventually became directors.
That's a game for you nerds, huh?
I don't really know the answer. It might be none. Who knows?